10 a.m. W245 CT Hayward. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Daria Albinger. Guilty verdicts for two Colorado paramedics in the death of Elijah McClain.
We, the jury, find the defendant jury.
The unarmed black man died days after being given a lethal dose of a sedative after a confrontation with police. The U.S. has confirmed an American citizen, Gadi Haghi, was killed in the October 7th Hamas attack on Israel. The UN Security Council has adopted a resolution calling for immediate aid delivery to civilians in Gaza. The vote was 13-0, with the U.S. and Russia abstaining. The Supreme Court rejected Special Counsel Jack Smith's request to fast-track a ruling on whether former President Trump can be prosecuted for his actions to overturn the 2020 election. The justices say an appeals court must hear it first. The CDC says cases of flu and COVID are rising, and they say they could get worse over the holidays. This is ABC News. A rogue wave hit a cruise ship full of tourists on a Northern Lights trip.
The ship named MS Maud, bound for England, setting off from Norway, sailing into the North Sea when a violent storm sent strong winds and massive waves into the ship. Windows on the bridge shattered, the vessel losing power and its navigation systems. Passengers wearing life vests huddled together. Remarkably, no passengers or crew were hurt. The ship, now with only one working engine, is stabilized and being towed to Germany.
ABC's Marcus Moore in London. The FDA says it seized thousands of units of counterfeit semaglutide, the active ingredient in popular weight loss medications like Ozempic and Wegovy. The imitation medications have been associated with 5 cases of illnesses so far. Roman Catholic bishops in a number of countries outside the U.S. are opposing a new Vatican policy which allows for the blessings of same-sex couples, some saying they will not implement it. Daria Albinger, ABC News.
FunTussle has been your trusted rural internet provider since 2003. Based in Wisconsin and backed by local support, FunTussle brings high-speed internet where others can't or won't. At an honest price, without any contracts or data caps, FunTussle has the plan that's right for you. Get connected with FunTussle today for internet, cellular, and entertainment by calling 877-227-0924. That's 877-227-0924. Or visit btussle.com.
Folks, I tell you this much, the Cripes Cast is just the butter on my cheese.
Mike and Pat, the hosts of the Crash Dummies podcast.
I was born in Nigeria, actually.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I was in Nigerian boarding school for like 3 years. It's like a prison sentence. We were trying to prison break our way out of there because they took our passports. So I was trying to have people send me money so I can find a new passport.
Wait. You were in Nigeria trying to have people send you money?
Yeah, trying to escape.
Sounds familiar, doesn't it?
Cripes Cast every Saturday and Sunday at noon across Civic Media and on the Civic Media app.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wiggehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The Wisconsin Supreme Court is overturning the state's Republican-drawn legislative maps and ordering new district boundary lines. The court ruled 4-3 for Democrats who argued the maps are unconstitutional because districts aren't contiguous. Wisconsin ranks 49th among states for funding public health, according to the United Health Foundation. Dave Reinders runs the Buffalo County Health Department. He says most of his budget comes from local property taxes, which isn't enough for efforts like tobacco prevention.
We're dealing with vaping. We're dealing with other ways of consuming nicotine that are being made available and marketed to children. What we don't have is really a strong enough voice and presence to really work with community intensively.
Wisconsin's public health spending is supplemented by the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. I'm Nate Wiggehout, Civic Media News.
A Packers coach on the hot seat. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Packers' Joe Barry spoke to reporters. After nearly 3 seasons with the team, the defensive coordinator could be on his way out. After back-to-back losses to the Giants and the Buccaneers, what's it been like this week after hearing fans want him fired?
You deal with it. We had a bad game. I have to be better for our guys completely. And I put that on me all the time. But yeah, this week was in particularly hard.
NBA, the Bucks get another win at home, this time 118 to 114 over the Orlando Magic. The Bucks have now won 15 games in a row at Fiserv Forum. Adrian Griffin.
For us, it's taking advantage of that home stretch, being able to play in front of our crowd. Now we got three tough games on the road in New York, two against the Knicks and then Brooklyn, then in with Cleveland. So it was good that we took care of business, but now we got to shift our mindset, to get on the road and try to get some road wins.
With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Cloudy and foggy tonight, areas of drizzle and lows in the mid-30s. For tomorrow, more drizzle and clouds early, high in the low 40s for the afternoon. Rain developing and breezy for Sunday, high upper 40s. Cloudy, windy, and rainy for Christmas Day, a high in the low 40s. Currently, it's 37.
Did you know this local radio station is part of Civic Media? Learn more about the entire network at civicmedia.us. Hayward's choice for news, talk, and sports. The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Portions of Native Roots Radio may be pre-recorded.
You're listening to the best of Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake. I'm your host, Wakunjahade, Distant Thunder. My colonized name is Robert Pilot. We discuss national and local Native American news and events. As we all know, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
It's a good day to be indigenous.
Get up, stand up.
They are going to become more brutal.
Courtney Cuff, Henry Cutter, baby.
Because all the hippies are trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunjahade.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunjahade. Hey, Kutigi, to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot. We discuss local and national Native news and events, and as you know, Haley, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
You are right, Dega. This portion of the show is supported by Native Roots Radio Network on Patreon. Support honest Native news, stories, and events with Native Roots Radio Network on Patreon.
Well, you know, I'm on day 5 of my COVID experience, my first COVID experience, and I'm quarantined here at home, and I'm a little loopy right now and a little intimidated today because today we have a special show with one of my all-time favorite artists, and this person has been in over 100 movies and television shows, some of our personal favorites being Powwow Highway, Smoke Signals, Dead Man with Johnny Depp, and The Score. Recently on Rutherford Falls, a TV show, playing our favorite Uncle Brownie in the highly acclaimed FX series Reservation Dogs. Gary is a recording artist and a musician with the band Gary and the Troublemakers, a documentary artist, water protector, and cannabis advocate. We want to give a big welcome to Gary Farmer, our big friend here, and we get to spend a whole hour with Gary. Pina Gigi, Gary, thank you so much for coming on.
Yes, Ganos, we're going to go to high end twist. It's a pleasure to be on the air with you. Hello, Minnesota.
And Wisconsin. We have to mention Wisconsin, too. We're on 20 stations in Wisconsin, so we do have to mention them during football season, too. So it's pretty hard for us here in Minnesota. But thank you, Gary, so much for being on. We're going to be playing some different songs from Gary Farmer and the Troublemakers for our bumper music out, and we're really excited, and we're going to play Make a Change playing out. And I don't know, before we get going too far, do you want to have any comments on that song before we get into the big interview here?
It's kind of just like it sounds. I was always looking to make things better for Indigenous people and people in general. And I knew that changes had to be made. I guess one of the strongest things. You know, I had a discussion last night with some friends, and, you know, I tried to help them understand that, you know, socialism isn't like communism or, mm-hmm. and indeed, both of those kind of came from the, you know, in terms of the Haudenosaunee or my people, the Iroquois Confederacy, you know, both Das Kapital and the American Constitution took parts from our, you know, Tree of Peace and our original confederation that created peace between our first five nations. So I think there's so much to learn. It's a couple of young countries, you know, both Canada and the U.S. They're just a couple hundred years old, and they've both been built on economic, you know, unsustainability. Mm-hmm. And so that it was just a comment on that whole situation and trying to get the people to join in. And the more you can get people to sing and dance about making a change, and if it doesn't happen, then it makes you feel that, well, we should continue to sing and continue to dance our way out, as it were.
Wow, good words, good words. Hey, we want to kind of get to know a little bit about you, and one of the things I'd love to ask you is, you know, you have a long career. You first started acting in professionally in 1976. What got you the bug to be actor, storyteller? How did that process start with you? Do you remember, did you have an aha moment, or was it a process that you just put one foot in front of the other and took some opportunity? Did you feel like you always wanted to be an actor?
No, I don't think so. It was kind of forced, but luckily. But, you know, where it all started, I think, was, you know, my interest as a child. You know, I grew up in kind of a gang-like situation in the inner city of Buffalo, New York, with a lot of other Haudenosaunee at the time. It was kind of our territories, you know, even though our Confederacy split in half during the War of 1812. You know, the migrations for work were constant with our skill as, you know, iron worker. My father was a crane operator and stuff. And, you know, I could see the path in front of me. I mean, I probably could have been a football player, but I didn't like the violence of the game much. And so in my senior year of high school, I picked up photography as a means to kind of dispel their interest for me to play football. And I pacified their interest by taking their picture as football players for the team. And that was an interesting way to kind of maneuver. And, you know, when you're in a kind of a gang life, at least in Buffalo, everyone kind of became police officers. And I thought, well, I'd start off, you know, going from the illegitimate gang to the legitimate gang is a college choice. But then Attica happened, and I saw, he's a young student, it was very hard to change what's going on within the manufacturing of police departments and the management. And I really saw the corruption, like an open sore. And so I ended up maneuvering my way into Syracuse University for a year and studied only film and arts-related stuff. But I kind of fibbed my way in because, I, being a Canadian Indian, I had to study something that I couldn't get in States. And so I told them I wanted to be an FBI agent. And, of course, this is like 1973 when, you know, the FBI and that whole Wounded Knee all rekindled again. And so it was kind of an ironic position to be as a youngster, but, you know, it was all pretty unknown to me, the political politics of the day for Native America as a young kind of urban student. Mm-hmm. And I really caught up quick. It was an interesting university. Anyway, I ended up going back to Canada and pursued filmmaking and photography for a couple of years in a what's now called the Metro, Toronto Metro University. It used to be called Ryerson, but he's the guy who started the residential school system in Canada. They change the name. But it was an interesting journey. And while I was there in Canada, there was this man, a Cree man, who was from Saskatchewan. He was an opera singer and played in opera. And he, you know, started this organization called the Association for Native Development and the Performing Visual Arts. And me being a photographer, he employed me to take pictures of these events. And that's where I met Thompson Highway and Renee Highway those days. And they became everlasting friends. He was a modern dancer at the time. Thompson was a Northern Cree composer and pianist, and later became an amazing playwright together, having worked with him for a number of years. So, but Jim had this theater school, and he took a bunch of Anishinaabe children, kids, really 13, 14 years old, to this camp. And he employed this really fancy British theater. He was well-trained in England, and he came up there with those Anishinaabe kids, and it wasn't working out. And I guess Jim thought maybe I was a little more worldly, so he sent me up there to kind of mother goose these kids through this period of their life. 4 or 5 weeks it was at the time. And I fell in love with the creative theatrical process of telling stories. And I always wanted to help, you know. As a child, I knew things were a little not right growing up in an indigenous family in the inner city. And there was a social network amongst the indigenous people there in town, but I knew things weren't good. And as a youngster, and I wanted to help. And when I discovered the theater, I realized this is how I can help. And that was in 1975. So.
Wow. Hey, we are here with Gary Farmer, and we're going to listen to a little Gary Farmer and the Troublemakers and come right back. You're listening to Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake.
Stay with us.
Gotta move it, shake it, you gotta turn it all around. It's time to boogie, time to boogie all night long. You gotta make a change.
If the statistics say that 1 in 3 Native women and 1 in 6 Native men have experienced sexual assault in their lifetime, it means our whole community is affected by sexual violence. 1 is too many. Don't stand by, stand up. Don't engage in acts of sexual violence and shut down the dirty jokes, the gossip, the victim blaming and shaming. As a community, we can change the way we respond. Contact the Minnesota Indian Women Sexual Assault Coalition to attend a workshop to learn more. Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women Sexual Assault Coalition.
Signing up for $1 bus and train rides with the Transit Assistance Program, or TAP, is quick and easy. Do it straight from your computer or phone by uploading one of the pre-approved documents listed at metrotransit.org/TAP, along with a copy of your ID. We'll mail you a go-to card with a full year of discounted rides. For questions or translation help, call 612-373-3333. 612-373-3333.
Hi, I'm Claudia with MinSure, Minnesota's official health insurance marketplace. With MinSure, you can compare health plans from multiple companies and get free help from a trusted expert. Whatever health plan you choose with MinSure, it's guaranteed to cover essential benefits so you can get the care you need. See if you qualify for discounts, available only through MinSure. If you need quality, comprehensive health insurance, get started now at MinSure.org.
Work together, everyone is one. You know, you gotta reach out to your neighbor down the side. We gotta
make a balance all around. You know, one person the same as the next. Hey, no matter how much money you got, gotta make the change.
Actor, musician, activist, storyteller, Gary Farmer. That was one of his groovy songs, Make the Change, and I love the blues, and you gotta be sad to sing the blues, right, Gary?
Not necessarily, I mean.
I'm just kidding. Hey, welcome back. Hey, let's talk a little bit about your acting career right now, and I think it's really kind of fun that young people, and especially young people in our community here, are getting turned on to Gary Farmer in 2023. You know, you were on Res Dogs as Uncle Brownie, and speaking of Res Dogs, Reservation Dogs, how cool is it to see the younger generation pick up the baton now and really do a lot of creative stuff in the movie and media genre?
Well, I always knew it was going to happen. You know, we got two strong stories, first of all. You know our history, relationship with the Canadians and the Americans. That history, and phenomenal history amongst the black community when slavery was first brought to this country. I mean, that story has never been told in terms of our relationship and how that came to be, you know. And, you know, so it was inevitable, especially with someone like James, like I spoke of the last chapter was, you know, we started training our young right from the start in terms of expressing himself artistically. Mm-hmm. I wasn't only an actor, I also published. When I saw that our stories were going out to non-native producers and they were getting all the credit for those stories when they were our stories. So the effort began early in my career to start bringing things back home, you know. And, you know, I started going after radio signals across the whole country. At one point, I had 70% of Canada by radio through the, you know, 9 major urban center. And, you know, I started working with the CRTC and eventually got the Aboriginal People's Television Network on air with my ability to kind of negotiate with the commission to license Native America for our kind of different story we got. We're looking at the world with totally different eyes, and it felt like we needed to be heard more than ever. So it was a natural progression over the course of my 49 years in this business.
Yeah, it's also great to see and working with, and I personally like being an older person. I'm a baby elder in my tribe, but I like the homage that they did with you guys in Reservation Dogs, where they had you, Graham Greene, Wes Studi, Richard Whitman, and involved in that, you know, modern tale. And I think it's really important to, if you are moving forward, to also give homage to the past, too. And I think that's what they did really well in that show.
Well, it's the way it is in a community, right? The show's all about the community and the love the community has for our elders and the aunties and uncles.
Oops.
I'm not sure. We may have lost Gary's issues. Audio.
So a lot of our communities are dealing with on a day-to-day. Everything okay?
Yeah, we lost you for a second, but you're back.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, it was just a natural thing. And that was the whole sense of Reservation Dogs, was the community, you know, to create a community. And And for the most part, the acting community, the performance community, the writing community, you know, it's not very big. It's growing much larger now. Mm-hmm. But in the day, it was a fairly small, quaint community. And we all knew each other. We all worked with each other. You know, there was very little infighting, so to speak. It was very, you know, I think, envisioned image to make all that happen. And it just paid out beautifully in Reservation Dogs. And the accolades have been unlike anything I've ever seen as a performer in the business as long as I have been. Yeah,
and it was so fun. I did not know what to expect, but having you being the uncle and the kids finding you, and and it was just fun, and had a big smile in the community, the Native community, to have you show up like that. That was awesome.
Oh yeah, I mean, I've always been a participant. You know, most of my life as well was spent in the theater. You know, you mm-hmm. develop a new writer's work. You never know where that's going to lead that writer or the theater company that produced it. You know, that they, and you know, I did that for years before I became a you know, television and film actor. And that's really the training ground.
Yeah, well, you know, you support natives and native businesses. It sounds like, you know, with purchasing these radio stations over the years, I remember hearing that story. And also your support of cannabis, too. I think that's something that kind of parlayed off your character, but also in real life, too.
Well, radio stations isn't something we purchased. I went at it totally a nonprofit model. It wasn't about ownership or privatization of radio. I was trying to create a collective concept where I was even ambitious to, so that the signal could run off the sun nationally. And that's very possible with, you know, FM radio doesn't need as much electricity as AM and such. So it was a dream to kind of unify the 600 nations of Canada so that we could feed news and information to the country that would help socialize them to their own history.
Yeah.
As much of that history was denied by educators the last century or so. And so I was really just trying to show the value of Native people and the Native language, because when you start to think of the languages, it's the true study of nature based on observation of time over centuries of time. And that knowledge is intrinsic to human survival on the planet. So it was a big vision, and it had nothing to do with about commercialization.
Awesome. Thanks for straightening me out there, even though we're on a commercial stations right now. But I feel,
you know, in Canada, the interesting thing is all commercial stations give a portion of their budget, somewhere between 2-4% of their annual budget, to public good. In Canada, I got that public good to qualify as Aboriginal or Native American news and information and music, because they knew little about us. So I was using that, you know, attracting private broadcasters to help a public system grow and mature.
Wow, that's awesome, and
it's a good idea for the FCC. They're kind of behind in that. In fact, you know, Reagan sold out much of radio back in his tenure,
right,
to privatization, and it really took a hurting on radio in the U.S.
Especially, oh, totally. We're blessed to be on this AM station here in the Twin Cities, Progressive Voice, but. You know, after deregulating, we have 9 people owning 90% of the media now here in the United States, and that's something we're fighting with, but and fighting back for. You know, we're here with Gary Farmer, and we got a little more Gary Farmer and the Troublemakers here. You're listening to Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake.
as we age.
Rice Lake's choice for news, talk, and sports. The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
ABC News, I'm Daria Albinger. Guilty verdicts for two Colorado paramedics in the death of Elijah McClain.
We, the jury, find the defendant jury.
The unarmed black man died days after being given a lethal dose of a sedative after a confrontation with police. The U.S. has confirmed an American citizen, Gadi Haghi, was killed in the October 7th Hamas attack on Israel. The UN Security Council has adopted a resolution calling for immediate aid delivery to civilians in Gaza. The vote was 13-0, with the U.S. and Russia abstaining. The Supreme Court rejected Special Counsel Jack Smith's request to fast-track a ruling on whether former President Trump can be prosecuted for his actions to overturn the 2020 election. The justices say an appeals court must hear it first. The CDC says cases of flu and COVID are rising, and they say they could get worse over the holidays. This is ABC News.
Don't change the station, but do watch out for deer, would ya? You know, they're running around all willy-nilly. It is the Krebscast with me, Charlie Behrens, on Civic Media and the Civic Media app.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wiggehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. There will be new legislative districts for the Wisconsin State Legislature next year. That's after the state Supreme Court Friday ruled 4-3 that Republican-drawn maps are unconstitutional because they're not contiguous. They also argued that lawmakers violated the separation of powers doctrine. A child in Wisconsin has died from RSV. The State Department of Health isn't providing any more details than that. Health experts say cases of respiratory infections like RSV, flu, and COVID are spiking in Wisconsin. The weather is unseasonably mild, with high temperatures in the 40s and a chance of rain in much of Wisconsin. It could be foggy enough at times this weekend to make driving hazardous. I'm Nate Wiggehout, Civic Media News.
Think you'd like working with us at Civic Media? We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin. If you have the right skills to join our team, let's talk. Civic Media is a proud equal opportunity employer committed to diversity and inclusion, along with the growth and development of all current and future employees. If you're interested or are part of an organization who wants to know more, go to our website, civicmedia.us, and click on the Careers tab.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Cloudy and foggy tonight, areas of drizzle and lows in the mid-30s. For tomorrow, more drizzle and clouds early, high in the low 40s for the afternoon. Rain developing and breezy for Sunday, high upper 40s. Cloudy, windy, and rainy for Christmas Day, a high in the low 40s. Currently, it's 37.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here. I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe and is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Sawyer County's choice for news, talk, and sports. The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
I'm Wake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Great sponsor and great partner all these years. They do great work all over Turtle Island. Hey, before we get too far into this, we're with actor, musician, activist, storyteller Gary Farmer, and we just played Fool for You. And I want to ask Gary, before I turn it over to our Gen Z producer here with a question, where can we get and listen to your music? What's the best way?
You know, that particular album with, you know, the beautiful painting of me playing the harmonica can be gotten anywhere on social platforms or wherever you buy your music. So it's available out there. So it's widely available that way. You know, I distribute it through CD Baby, and certainly their website works too.
Right on. Hey, so we got a question here from Haley, our producer, and Gen Zer. Go ahead, Haley.
Yeah, well, hey, Gary, I just want to say a big Pina Gigi. Thank you for joining us tonight on Native Roots Radio. I want to introduce myself again. My name's Haley Chashapewangawinik. I'm a descendant of Ho-Chunk Nation and the Winnebago Tribe in Nebraska. My name means Little Eagle Princess, and I'm Eagle Clan. There was a big movie that just came out recently, and I know you had worked with Robert De Niro in the past in The Score. I was wondering if you got a chance to see Killers of the Flower Moon yet. I know Lily Gladstone starred in that, and was just curious to see just your opinion on her performance in the movie, as well as Robert De Niro's in that one as well.
Unfortunately, I haven't seen the movie. You know, I'm not much for extremely popular cinema. I must look at about 400-500 independent features, because I've been working hard with Santa Fe International Film Festival for all these years since inception. And so spend a lot of time finding the best of the best out there and promoting that. And so often I don't get to, I did manage to see just a few minutes of Oppenheimer the other day, but I'm sure eventually I'll take a look. But Lily's a longtime friend and collaborator. In fact, we just promoting a film called Quantum Cowboy. It just got some distribution, probably primarily because Lily's stardom in Killers of the Flower Moon. So Robert, on the other hand, has been a lot of fun to work with in the past for me. He has a great sense of humor. He's got a lot of humility. And, you know, it's nice to hear him make that speech last night at the I didn't see the whole speech, but I'm glad that he's calling out what's been reality for us since my tenure in the business. You know, that we've had to face a lot of racism. You know, early in my career, there were no Native writers. There were no Native directors. And I had, as the actor, the sole responsibility to try and keep them, you know, somewhat understanding of who we were representing in the film. So it's wonderful, so much more comfort as an actor now to go to set and knowing that all your, you know, your relatives and all the creatives that come from the 600 communities in the U.S., you know, there's some things that are very common. And so it's been much easier, and it's just lovely to see Lily's rise to stardom and all those young people from Res Dogs. Now we get to watch their career for the next 50 years, you know, and what they can do with it and what stories they find of interest to tell as performers. So, yeah, it's a special time for sure.
It's interesting, too. We'll get back to what Robert De Niro said in a second, but it's interesting, too. I used to be a high school student before I started my other job, and Bobby Wilson was a student of mine, so you always have your handful with creative people, and Bobby's one of the most creative people I've met as a student in my 30 years of teaching.
Good. Yes, he's a lot of fun.
Yes, total fun. Haley, do you have Robert De Niro's quote at all? Because I know there was some controversy about that. If people are out there listening, not knowing what we're talking about, somebody took out part of his speech, and then he ad-libbed his speech about basically how Native Americans are still fighting the John Wayne syndrome. And to my understanding, wasn't that correct, Haley?
Yeah, yep. So it was actually Monday, and this was at the Gotham Awards. Robert De Niro noticed that there was alleged editing and reads that were missing on his portion of the speech on the teleprompter. So what he actually did was took out his phone and read the remainder of his speech that they took out. And he said he was going to do it anyways. And it included, you know, just statements noting that the industry isn't immune to racism. And, you know, he specifically called out former actor John Wayne's statements about indigenous tribes and their selfish attitudes about keeping their lands as an example, just kind of these attitudes. And, yeah, so Robert De Niro has stated, I'm going to say these things, but to Apple, who produced Killers of the Flower Moon, but to Apple and thank them and all of that, Gotham's blah, 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 De Niro said, but I don't feel like thanking them at all after what they just did. How dare they do that, actually? So I very much thank you for bringing up that point, Gary, because we were looking into that story as well.
Well, there's a uncomfortable. I feel like, I don't know if anyone's ever watched Saturday Night Live when one of the actors was interviewing Paul McCartney, and that's the way I feel right now. It's so intimidated, Gary. Thank you so much for being on. It's just I would really like you to take the show over here and talk about what you'd like to talk about. And I think you are such an interesting person, not only your past but what you're doing right now. I think the music, I saw you up in Duluth jamming with a whole bunch of artists a couple of years ago. I've seen you be master of ceremonies at the Minnesota Native Chamber of Commerce, all those things. And you're still working and you're still doing it and you're still active and you still have an opinion. So I'd love to hear what you're thinking about right now.
Well, I tried to get on the new Native Theater website. It seems to be down, which is a theater company that exists in Minneapolis. Yeah. And I worked with them over a couple of workshop sessions during the COVID period. It was a play that was to play for them over the last couple Christmases. It's called A Christmas in Ochoapi. And it's playing now at the new Native Theater, or shortly, through the holiday season. It was written by a fellow named Montana Cypress, who's a Miccosukee from, Central Florida. They're kind of the Everglades people, and he's a really interesting writer. He's kind of hung out in Los Angeles trying to make a go of it in Hollywood as a filmmaker, as a writer, and as an actor. And, I'm ironically sitting here on my way to Los Angeles to do his micro low budget short film shooting in Los Angeles next week called An Ode to Leviticus, which is probably about a 15 minute film with Tantu Cardinal, who was also in Killers of the Flower Moon. So just a little irony, a little plug for the play happening in Minneapolis this over the holiday season, and my effort to help this young filmmaker realize a good film. So, the other interesting thing is this series with Chaskay Spencer. He's a Assiniboine, from Montana there, and he's been a longtime actor based out of New York City. I worked with him and Emily Blunt in this series called The English. We shot it in Spain with a Spanish crew, and it was a BBC production. But if you get a chance to watch this 6-part series, I think it's a great kind of historical overview of the settling of America from, more of a Native perspective than you usually get. And I did mention Quantum Cowboys. It's now in theaters and streaming. Just search it again, featuring Lily Gladstone and Kiowa Gordon, and this fun artist that's been in my band from time to time, Hal Gelb, who also co-wrote that film. So, I've been pushing around a short film called Vertebrae by a dear friend named Travis Schilling. He's an Ojibwe painter, playwright, and director. He's born in Rama, Ontario, and son of a famous artist named Arthur Schilling. And Travis has been exhibiting art since the age of 21 in Canada, in Europe and the U.S. And his work always is profound. And if there's any young film festivals out there that would like us to submit this, Vertebrae to you, we'd be happy to. And so it's an exciting time for me. you know, it's nice to win the Best Americana Album at the 223 New Mexico Music Awards. Sing that song reached number 5 on the top Indigenous music countdown in Canada. So it's been a great year for me, and I'm just really grateful for you guys having me on the show.
Well, we'll probably let you go because we really appreciate your time. And one thing I wanted to just tell you, truth be told, my daughter, Mahinu, my first daughter, is in that play in New Native Theater. She's an actor, and she's playing, if you know the play, she's playing the white girlfriend. So she's So, Gary, I just want to say thank you so, so much for being on. I really, really appreciate you spending time with us, and I know our audiences just love this. I hope to get you on again when things slow down for you a little bit again, but thank you so much, and let's listen to this music the rest of the way on this second-to-last segment. Thank you so much, Gary Farmer.
Or drive a car right off a mountain cliff. That's how tough she is. Oh my God, my friend, you better watch it.
Unveil the captivating world of Native photography at the Minneapolis Institute of Art. Their new exhibit, In Our Hands, Native Photography 1890 to Now, turns the camera around and puts Native photographers in control, featuring hundreds of photographs captured by generations of First Nations, Métis, Inuit, and Native Americans. You'll view the world through their lens, revealing the beauty and complexity of Indigenous heritage. Don't miss this incredible experience. Visit In Our Hands at the Minneapolis Institute of Art now through January 14th. For more info, visit artsmia.org.
Signing up for $1 bus and train rides with the Transit Assistance Program, or TAP, is quick and easy. Do it straight from your computer or phone by uploading one of the pre-approved documents listed at metrotransit.org/TAP, along with a copy of your ID. We'll mail you a go-to card with a full year of discounted rides. For questions or translation help, call 612-373-3333. 612-373-3333.
J&S Bean Factory is a Native-owned, community-supported, cozy, artsy coffee shop which offers roasted on-site beans, live music, and baked goods. Relax in the beautiful outside patio. City Pages writes, voted top 10 coffee shops. Tucked into a quiet corner of St. Paul's Highland Park neighborhood, this coffee shop roasts beans on-site from the best coffee-growing countries in the world. Located at 1518 Randolph Avenue, St. Paul. The good stuff.
The AM 950 2024 calendar is here, and we have a brand new thank you you're going to love. A meet and greet with me, Matt McNeil, and other hosts from AM 950. Become a sustaining member of AM 950 with a recurring monthly payment of $50 or more, or make a one-time membership donation of $250 or more, and not only will you receive the AM 950 calendar and the AM 950 tote bag as a thank you, but you'll also be invited to an exclusive thank you, the meet and greet. For more details or to sign up to become a member, go to am950radio.com. That's am950radio.com.
The sheep at night, she's the toughest girl.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations.
How?
How?
Wow. That was intense for me, Haley. I just we were chatting amongst ourselves via text with the mothership, and great job at the mothership bringing in the music and out. It was perfect, and felt like I was walking on glass. But hey, totally prepared for this, and Gary was awesome, and I thought it was a good time to let him go because he really had a lot of great things to say and things to chew on.
Yeah, he definitely did. That was such a fun time, and really, we appreciate all that Gary has done and the representation that he's created in the community for us in film and in music and all of the art. So, big pinagigi to Gary.
Yeah, definitely. Hey, we don't want to put a damper on this, but we do want to kind of bring this up, Haley, is some local news that's just breaking right now. I think, if you don't mind, if you could pull up and talk about that a little bit, and then we'll get back into the positive show we had in the music.
Yeah, well, I just was getting an email through. I don't know if this was recently. I know this was today. I'm not sure which encampment this was, but I'm sure it was one of the ones in Minneapolis here. There was a shooting inside the camp. The police officers, I'm not sure this email, they are looking for a missing person. But for now, to keep doors enclosed and keeping everyone safe. So if you are in an area downtown in the Twin Cities, specifically Minneapolis, and you have relatives in an encampment, just maybe check in on those people and make sure that they're doing okay.
Yeah, definitely. Always be aware of what your surroundings and things like that. So I appreciate that update, and maybe some more will come in, and maybe one of our listeners will send us a text or something. You know, one of the things, I just love the speech that Gary did in Smoke Signals when he was talking about him and Victor playing basketball with the priest, the Jesuit priest. And it's cool, you know, and you have to really walk softly. It'd be like, you know, he's still doing things. He's still active. And you don't want to start talking about stuff that he did 40 years ago or 25 years ago. But it's still hard not to, because I was such a big fan still after all these years of the movie Smoke Signals.
Right. Well, yeah, the specific scene I think you're talking about, too, that one was called, now I just lost it. Anyway, so it's the 25th year of Smoke Signals, actually, because it was released in 1998. That scene specifically, you got to have faith. Mm-hmm. And that was Gary's moving monologue during that basketball scene outside. And that was where he was talking about Victor and Arnold, the character that he played. Arnold and his son Victor played, I believe it was 2-on-2 with the priests at the school.
Right.
And, my favorite quote. That's such a great scene. And just every time I think about it, I got to watch it again and then cry all over again. But the scene, or the quote that he says, he goes, "My boy, he was tough, man. He flew right over those Jesuit like he was some indigenous angel or something. My boy, Victor, he was the man that day. He took that shot and he won the game. It was the Indians versus the Christians that day. And for at least one day, the Indians won."
Yeah.
And then he throws the basketball, and it's all emotional, and he's out there at night on the court by himself. And,
right.
Yeah.
Well, he's telling the story to the woman actor. I can't think of her name. Susie Smoke is the character's name. But she's been in a lot of stuff over the years, and still. There's a show coming out called Hey Victor, and that Gary was in, and I didn't ask him about that, but it's a about the person who played the young Victor doing a documentary and a sequel to Smoke Signals called Hey Victor. And the whole, it's a spoof, and it's a documentary on the making of the next the sequel to Smoke Signals. And if you look up the information, it's got everybody in there. And it's really funny, and because I don't know, every time I watch that movie, I I think of, I wonder where those kids are. Do they keep acting? And you'll find out now, the ones that played the young Victor and Thomas in Smoke Signals.
Oh, they're going to have the original cast, everyone?
Yeah. It's a mockumentary, I think. And they've already shot it. It's just, I don't think it's coming out until 2024.
Oh, that's too long.
That's funny. It's not that long. It's a month away.
Isn't that scary? A month away from 2024?
Yeah, I don't know. They're going by for me fast. I tell you, you know, I'm 62, so I got like 15 more winters left and 14 more summers. So I got to like really pay attention to what's happening here and give everything away. So I have a lot of things I got to start giving away.
Give it to me. Give it to your Chuzhong.
Yeah, definitely. Well, I'll start with a couple T-shirts and then we'll go from there, Haley.
Oh, okay. I see it. I see how that works.
Well, those are my prized possessions.
That's true. You're very protective of your T-shirts.
And my potato chips, but that's a whole different show and different story that we won't get into. But, yeah. So I think what we need to do is reach out to Bobby Wilson and a couple other people now that the strike's over. I didn't mention that to Gary. I could have mentioned that, but it's, you know, now we can reach out to our actor friends in the Native community and have them come in and promote what they're doing and talk about what they're doing and what they're up to. So it's an exciting time again, and we wanted to be really conscious of that and not walk over any boundaries. Because we know when we talk to, it's cool that he brought up New Native Theater too, but when we talked to the founder of New Native Theater, she couldn't really talk about Dark Winds, which she wrote the first segment of the season, or the first episode, I should say. Hey, Haley, great work. Great work, AM 950 producer Brett. And we pulled it off. We did a great show with Gary, and nobody got mad at us. So that's always a good thing.
Absolutely.
Hey, if you're listening to the show, you're part of the resistance. From Chief Plenty Coops, the ground on which we stand on, it's sacred ground. It's the blood of our ancestors. We need to resist, divest, join a group, run for office. We're still here. We are the seventh generation.
And free Leonard Peltier. Now.
And maybe we can play some Gary now, and I'll pod this down.
Birchwood to Poplar. This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH, your home for news, talk, and sports. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Did you know there's an actual Candy Cane Lane in Wisconsin? It's only real during the holidays, but one Milwaukee area neighborhood has been sharing its holiday cheer for close to 40 years. 300 residents along West Oklahoma Avenue in West Dallas decorated to be part of Candy Cane Lane this year, free to drive through and enjoy. But since 1984, $3 million in donations have been raised and given to the MAC Fund to fight cancer. I'm Terry Barr. From all of us with the Civic Media Radio Network, happy holidays.
This is the Buzz of the North, WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Daria Aldinger. The CDC says flu and COVID cases could get worse during the holidays. Do what you can to stay healthy.
I still keep a mask on me when I'm flying, when I'm on a bus, when I'm on a subway, because you never know what the coughing person next to you may have.
ABC's medical contributor, Dr. Alok Patel. The TSA says just over 1% of flights have been canceled so far during the holiday travel rush. Don't post about your holiday trip until you get home.
Even though their accounts may be private, you don't want to do that. Let's face it, no social media is private.
Security expert Andy Renfro, a guilty verdict in Colorado in the 2019 death of a black man after a confrontation with police. Two